parsha is parsha's ki teitzei lemilchama al oyvecha. Ki teitzei. So what it speaks about here is Rashi says the pasuk says when you go out to war. Rashi says milchemet reshus. It means not a milchama of obligation that we have when we enter Eretz Yisrael, that we have a mitzvah to kill Kol Nesham, everyone, all the nations, the seven nations that dwell there. Rather, this is a milchemet reshus, that we don't have the mitzvah to kill everyone there. How we know that? It says, Ki teitzeinu milchama oyvech, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him Hashem Elokech biyadech, in your hands, v'shavita shivyo, and you captured captives. If it was Milchemet's mitzvah, you wouldn't be able to take captives. You have to kill them. Here we see you can take captives. It must be to Milchemet's Roshus. Okay? V'ra'ita b'shivya. And you saw in the Shivya, in this captive, Eishes Yifat Torah. You saw a woman who's Yifat Torah, beautiful in form. V'chashakta ba. And you had desire for her. V'lakachta lecha le'isha. And says the Torah, you're allowed to take her for a wife. Says Rashi, it wasn't me lakachta la le'isha, right? Even if she's an Eishes Ish, right? This we learn out from Pasuk, because it says, Eishes Yifat Torah. What do you mean Eishes? Even Eishes Ish, says Rashi. So you're even allowed to take a woman who's a married woman that you desire in Milchemet Roshus, and take her home and have relations with her. Says, and we're talking about she's not Jewish. So she's a married woman, you're allowed to have relations with her even before you make her a ger, even before you make her a convert, and then you leave her in your house. I'm going to see. Ve'veita al-toch beita, you bring her to your house. Ve'gilcha rosha, you cut off all her hair. And her nails. And you take away her beautiful dress that she wore when she was in Shevi. To, says Rashi, he brings that, because this dress is pleasant. That non Jews, right? They dress nicely during war. For other people to have relations with them. And now she sits in your house, right? And she cries for her father and her mother a whole month, right? Then now you can have, this is Bia Shnia, the second Bia, Uba Alta, and you have relations with her. Now she became a Gioris. And now she becomes your wife. Right, it's a very, very strange mitzvah.
Yeah.
Now it says, "Vayayim lo chafatz taba." If you don't desire in her, right? V'shilachta lenafsha, and you send her away. U'mocholot kim karena b'kasa. You can't sell her as a slave. Lo titameba. You can't do badly to her. I suppose you translate it. Tachad hashenita, because you afflicted her through this process. Okay. So now, what's happening here? Where do we hear you're going to a war and the Torah allows you to take a married woman? And what do you do with this married woman? You bring her to your house. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ki teitzei lemilchama. The milchama tarashus, we read that. But lekachta lecha leishin, you take her for a wife. Lo dibra tera ela keneged hayetzahara. The Torah spoke against the yetzahara. Shim ein hakodesh baruch hu matira. If a kodesh baruch hu doesn't allow her, you to have this relationship with her, yisena b'issa. You marry her in issa. Ava im nasa. But if you do marry her, sofer liot son'a. You're gonna hate her. Sheneemach, right? It says afterwards, Ki tiena leish, when there will be to a man, this woman, right? V'sofer olid menu, and in the end, you're going to give from her a child. Ben sara mora, someone who goes away, rebellious son. Therefore, we see that this parasha, this first parasha, is connected to the next parasha, which starts with Ki tiyena l'ishtei nashim. A man will have two wives. Achada uva, one that's loved to him. Achad tznua, and one that's hated to him. This hated to him is this woman that he married. So it's saying like this, saying the Torah doesn't really want you to marry this woman. So it's doing its very best to make it asa for you. So what's this allowing you? It's like David was saying, b'shas milchama, time of war, a person goes into war, all his inhibitions are removed. You know, in war you're getting angry, all the bad meters in a person is useful in war. Anger is a very useful meter in war. A person's under stress, under thing. He's not in a normal situation. So in such a situation, the Torah realizes that his guard is down, and he's not going to be able to overcome his basic animal needs, and he's going to succumb to them. So if the Torah didn't allow it, he might be that it would come to it from himself. So therefore the Torah allows it. But that's not sufficient. It's not sufficient that that's the whole pshat of what's happening here. That the Torah says, oh, you can't do it. You know, you really like those cheeseburgers, you know, have one. You know, when you're in Manhattan, and right, there's no kosher food around, and the only thing that's on sale is, you know, these cheeseburgers, it's okay, you know, we understand you, you know, it's trying to stress in work office, right, all that's happening there, it's okay. Where do we say those things? Shabbos? People, when they first went to America, they didn't have a livelihood, and they kept Shabbos. They didn't have what to eat, and they kept Shabbos. Where do you see the Torah is matir so easily such a thing? So first of all, there's a very interesting Orach Chaim here. The Orach Chaim lets us understand something on a little deeper level. He says, at the time of the sin of the first man, Adam HaRishon, what happened here? That caused, Adam HaRishon is the source of all the souls. And when he was sinned, part of the souls which were associated with the Jewish people went into Golus, went into exile. Question: at the time of the sin or after the sin, there's 130 years that he was alone, and says the Gemara that he came out from him, Shichvat Zera Levatola, you know, had an issue. And those issues, those 130 years, those sparks of Kedusha, most of them were brought back in Egypt, but still there were sparks that were lost, those lost souls. Says the Or Chaim, the year the Torah is miramis to us on a very, very, very deep inyan, a very, very deep thing. We see this also, he says, when we learned in Parsha beforehand with Dina. Yeah? In Parshas Vayishlach, right? Perek Lamed Gimel, 33, Pasuk Yudches, right? Pasuk 18. Vayovo Yaakov Shalem Irshem, Asher Be'eretz Kanaan. He went to Irshem. Vabo Mipadan Aram, Yichen Al Pnei Ha'ir. V'chule. So, then it says, in Perek Lamed Dalet, right? Yaakov came to Shechem. V'teitze Dina Batlea. Dina, who the daughter of Leah went out. She was a Yatsanid, right? Asher yalda Yaakov lirot b'nota ha'ar. She went to see the daughters of the land. V'yara otah Shechem. Shechem ben Chamor, the son of a donkey. He was chomriut, physicality. Hachivi. Chivi is loshen of a nachash. Nasi ha'aretz, the prince of the land. So it's also related, here is a remez of Chazal, to the nachash ha'kadmoni. The snake, the first snake, which represents the Yetzer Hara, right? V'yikach ota, he took her, v'yishkav ota, and he lied with her, v'yaneah, and he afflicted her. V'tidbak nafsho, and mustak his soul, b'dina, bat Yaakov, the daughter of Yaakov, Viev et hanara, and he loved this nara, this lady, vidaber alev hanara, and he spoke to the heart of the nara. Says the Orach HaIm, what does it mean, titbak nafsho? What's this, his soul stuck to her? Says the Orach HaIm, that wasn't a simple thing that happened here. Dina, you know that Dina was in a replacement of Yosef. You know, remember the story? That Leah davened that a child would be changed into a daughter so that Rachel would have a child, and that would be Yosef. So anyway, we'll come to learn this Bizarre Hashem this year, we'll see. The concept of Yosef is to be Mivare, is to bring back Klal Yisrael, to bring back the lost parts of Klal Yisrael. That's also the concept of Dina. So here, what it said here, this was one of the lost souls of the Jewish people. One of the lost souls that was lost to the Sitra Achra, the Chivi, this Nachash HaKadmoni. And the connection of Dina with this Shechem ben Chamo was to Tidbak Nafsho, was to bring that soul that was mitabed, that was attached to Shechem, and bring it back to Kedusha. And from that child was born what? Osnat, which was the wife of Yosef. So if you understand it, it all comes together, because Yosef is also the person. Osnat was then sent with a Kamiya out from the Jewish people, and Yosef is the one who brought her back. And from that came Ephraim and Menashe. Anyway, so that was part of the Biru. So the Or HaChaim says that we see that sometimes you will see that these things will happen and they don't make sense. It doesn't make sense in the Chama. V'chashakta ba, he desired in her. Where is this cheshek coming from? Where is this desire coming from? Because there's a redemption of a soul incurring here. That's why the Torah is allowing it. When you go in the Chama and there's something that's happening, there's a special cheshek and the Yetzahara, you can't be kovesh the Yetzahara. So the Torah allows it, because it understands the what? That soul, somehow, there's some association of that soul to the Jewish people. Says the Orach HaIm, all Gerim are that way. All, how you say Gerim, all converts are these lost souls. There's no such thing as a non-Jew converting. It's all lost souls of the Jewish people which are coming back. And these are very, very high-level souls. Right? So that's what he's saying is what's really happening here. That's what's the depth of behind the scenes. It's not just, of course, the simple pshat is that the Torah is matzeh, the Yetzirah. This is something Yetzirah can't be, we can't overcome the Yetzirah, so the Torah allows it. But why is it that here the Torah allows such a thing? Why is it that here the Torah allows such a ridiculous thing? To marry, to have relations with a married woman? And the reason is because that special cheshik, that special desire, is a spiritual connection. There is a spiritual connection here.
And you're bringing that down from...
And you bring it back.
No, I'm saying, where's that idea coming from?
And you will conquer, right? And you will capture something which was captured from the Jewish people. What was captured from the Jewish people? These lost souls were taken from the Sitra Achra, the other side. Right? So the Jewish people, because of the Cheder Adar Rishon, some of the souls associated with the Jewish people were still lost. Really, Egypt was supposed to be the place in which all our souls were supposed to come back. But they didn't all come back. Why? Not all the souls were mitbareh, were clarified in Egypt. There were still some lost souls that were in Egypt that we were lacking. You understand?
Yeah.
We were lacking redemption. All the other Goliaths, all the other exiles are here to redeem those lost souls. That's why it's called Golos. What's Golos? Golos is a lotion of gili, of revealing. We go into Golos to reveal those lost souls, to bring them back. All our Golos is that way. Part of Golos is a biru. Golos is a time where the Jewish people are being clarified. In Egypt, 80% of the Jewish people were lost in Makat Choshech. They didn't come back. Only 20% of the Jewish people left Egypt. It was a time of Biruv. Today is the same thing. We're in Golos. You have many Jews being lost. And many Jews, we find, are coming back. It's a time of Biruv. Those big souls who are lost in Golos are being brought back. That's what a Baal Tshuva essentially is. That's what he's not. He's not. It's not only in war, like we said previously, that this happens. It happened, like we said, with Dina and Shechem. So sometimes, and it happened, remember, with Yosef and Potiphar. Yosef had a tzad, had a thought, that marrying Potiphar, she was going to be with him, Bo'olam Abba. I.e., this was a proper connection. That's why there was a tzad there. Lemaisa, Chazal tell us afterwards that it was her daughter. Who was her daughter? Osnat. And Osnat was this daughter of Dina. So Yosef, when he saw this with Ruach HaKodesh, that Potiphar had a relevance to him, it wasn't just stump. There is this aspect. And this is this aspect. Sometimes you see, and it happens, you see that, you know, things happen in life. The Indian of Yafat Torah is not just stump. Yafat Torah means that she has a beautiful form, right? The beautiful form, not only a physical form, it represents, according to this Oral Chaim, an inner beauty.
Right,
and this inner beauty is there because of the soul that needs to be redeemed. Yeah, that's exactly it. The Torah, here, according to Oral Chaim, we see that you bring her to your house, right, and you cut her hair off, and you take off her beautiful dress. So, and then only with Bi'ah Shniya, the second time, right, and when she comes a Geyoris, then you marry her, right? Why is that? According to this pshat, because it could be, it's not so clear that your cheshek, your desire for her, was for the proper reasons. We'll only know for the proper reasons is when she removes from herself her physical beauty and you still the desire's there. Therefore, the desire is not a physical desire, rather a internal desire. And then it's a sign that this is a redeemed soul that needs to be redeemed. But if you marry her, there is a tzad that it's going to be a physical desire and it's just not the redeemed soul, then you will have a Ben Sarah Amora. Then the child that comes for it will be a child who's a rebellious child. That's what we're saying here. So Rabbeinu Machaya says, Al Derech HaMidrash, says, Ubachta Aviyah Vitima Yerech Yamim. And she cries for her father and her mother, right, for a whole month. Zu Avodah Zara. This is Avodah Zara. Shneema, Omrim Le'etz Aviyata. You say to the tree, you are my father. Ula Evan, and to the stone, At Yiradatanu, you gave birth to me. That's your mother, right? Avia v'ima, Rabbi Akiva omer, zu avodah zara. This is avodah zara. V'ken hu omer, omrim le'etz. He brings this pasuk. Gemara Yevamos. But nearly says Rabbeinu Barachim, lefi hamidrash hazeh, according to this midrash, ki haya zman yerech yamim. This time that she cried was a whole month. Then she klal kol ha'kifim. It's a time of all the changes that are happening in the world. Hekif Yom Hashimshi, that the change of the sun is in the time of the day, right? It's a period of time called a day. That's the change of the sun. The Hashpa of the sun is a day, right? The Hekif Shiva Kochve Lechet, the Shiva Yemei Shavua, and the change of the constellations of the stars is through a week. And the change of the moon is a month. I.e., the hashpa, the influence of the sun, is the day. The influence of the stars is the week. Alright? Then the influence of the moon is the month. All of these three aspects included all of Avodah Zarah. Because what's Avodah Zarah? There are three hashpas on the person. The Ashpa, the influence of the Mazalot, the sun, the the, you know, the constellations, right? Ein mazel b'Yisrael. We say ein mazel b'Yisrael. The Gemara in Shabbos says you can tell the mazel of a person by time, the day he's born, the hour he's born, right? And the time he's born, the month he's born, right? This is against these constellations, the Hashpa. There's an influence of TV, the zodiac, what they call the zodiac, you know? So there's an emes to it, there's a truth to it. Just klausul elamala min hamazel. They're higher than the mazel. Why? Because just as the birth of klausul, really Sarah and Avram shouldn't have had children. They shouldn't have had any children. The fi teva in the world, the natural situation in the world, they shouldn't have children. What happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him outside the mazalot. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I see, according to my mazel, I shouldn't have children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him outside the teva of the world and gave him a child with Sarah. You understand what I'm saying?
Does that just mean a miracle?
Yeah, it means a miracle, but it means more than that. What do we mention on Rosh Hashanah? We mention on Rosh Hashanah the birth of Yitzchak. Why? What do we mention on Rosh Hashanah the birth of Yitzchak?
Because
Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael don't live like other people. We live lemala min hazman. We live outside of the mazal. We live outside of the teva of the world. We live outside din. Din is the teva of the world. Din means this is how things have to be. This is the order of the world. Klal Yisrael live outside the order of the world. We read this in Rosh Hashanah to show that we, when we're coming to din, we're not, don't dan us on din, don't judge us based on the mitzias of who we are. We're lemala min hamazal, we're lemala min hateva. We can be judged outside the teva, the what should be cause and effect through the sins, chas v'shalom, that a person does. That's what we Klal have the ability to do. That's the birth of Klal. So we're seeing here that when she's crying for avia v'ima. She's crying for her father and her mother, right? And the kochavim, af im hayula avaim, right? Titzavu ater lifkot, to refer to cry, ulashrim chuka, to finish her period of time im avodazara, to finish off with her avodazara shela. She pared mehim, to separate from the avodazara of her father and her mother. Ki lo izira ter al avodazara ki im Yisrael v'lo l'knanim. Torah only said Avodah Zarah, a Jewish person should separate from Avodah Zarah, not the Canaanim. That's a bit of a chiddush, because the nations of the world are muzan Avodah Zarah. They have seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. So I'm not sure what Rabbeinu Chaya means. But let's go back to what it's saying here. It's saying this period of time is a period of time of separation from her, from her past, and from our ways of the influence of the sun, the influence of the moon. Now, why is it that the eighth, the tree, represents, like the asherah, the bowing down to the tree, or plantation, represents the influence of the sun? Because these things get their nourishment from the sun. The stone, right, is the moon. Why is the stone the moon? The stone represents the malchus, right? Even always represents the malchus in the world. The moon is a reflection of the sun, the influence of the sun represents the malchus expression. It's the female side. But going back, there's also a big remis here. It's a remis to Elohu. Ubachtet avia v'tima. Avia v'ima represents the higher level of self. Avia is Abba. Ima is mother. The mitzvah, when a person does a mitzvah, he connects to his higher self. He connects to his Abba, represents his Chochmah, his wisdom. Ima represents his Bina. When a person does Torah and mitzvahs, he connects to his higher persona, his higher self. Elo, we're crying on our father and our mother that we didn't connect properly this whole year. I want to reconnect. So not only is it time for separation from Avodah Zarah, separation for the physical, it's also a reconnection with our higher level of self, with our higher persona. That's Elo. That's the remnant here. Chochmah represents the father. Father is always, you know, a man. The female, the male form is always represents more rational side. Bina represents intuition or imagination. Like you take Chochmah represents the building blocks, right? Like take simply the Legos. Bina is when you make that Lego into a police car or into a fire engine, right? You take the same blocks and you make into something. You use that chokhmah, and with your imagination, and with your creativity, you build it. That's what Bina is lashon building, binyan. You build it into a new form. It references two aspects of the higher level of self: a person's rationale and a person's imaginative, intuitive self. He reconnects to the higher level of self, his like rationale and his intuitive, creative self, which is those are the aspects of self that he connects to the Creator. A human mind cannot think about anything that it's not recognized. You can think about a pink flying elephant because you're seeing things flying, you're seeing things are pink, you're seeing elephants. So you can give imaginary wings to the elephant, you can paint it pink, and you can think about a flying pink elephant. Can you think about an abalulu? No, you have no clue what an abalulu is. Says Rama, a person can't think of something which is not in his, you know, cognitive self. A person can only think of things which he sees around him, or which he imagines, or which has a concept of them. So this is a very interesting thing. We all understand the concept of Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not strange for us. That means if we can think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, think about a higher self, a higher concept of a person who created the world, etc., it means that concept must be something we can recognize from the world. You with me? But the only way of us connecting to that is through a rationale and an intuitive, imaginative self. Those are the aspects of self we can connect to a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. You with me? Make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
So Rebbeinu Chaya says, this parasha has it orut v'remez al yetzahar, hint about the yetzahar, right? Ki yetzahar mastin adam machtir tamid. He's always causing a person to sin. He comes into the dimion of Yifat Torah, lat oto, to cause him to make mistakes, and to put him in the tivers of this world. Right? Now, the Zohar explains, says, that when you see, you know, in the time of Avodah Zarah, if a person you see an Elil, right, when Klal Yisrael had a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, it was a big taiva. It was a tremendous taiva that they had to serve this Avodah Zarah. It's like, we don't understand it, but to get an understanding a little bit of Avodah Zarah, what happens if a person was to say, I'll give you a course, and you have complete dominion on this physical world. And I said, easy. Anyone can do it. You have dominion, you have influence on the physical world.
Everyone would be like,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, great. It would be great. Everyone would want to do that. Yeah. The desire for having, connecting on a spiritual level without any work, that was the desire for Avodah Zarah. We can't understand it because we're not such spiritual people, right? We're more physical. But if you think of people who are more spiritual, you have to work very, very hard in Kedusha to get to a level of connection with the physical or connection with the spiritual worlds. Avodah Zarah gives you that in without any work.
So
that's a tremendous
like
desire.
That.
Says the Gemara, the Chachamim decided to take away a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. But it's left, we have, only Yetzirah that we have is a Yetzirah of Ataibas, a desires for physicality, right? So this Elil, this Avodah Zarah that it's called, the Zarah calls, that's a woman. That's this woman that a person sees, Bederech, that's Mastinotah, that takes him away from Avodah Hashem. All those desires that take away from Avodah Hashem, those are the Elils. That's the Elil, that's the Avodah Zarah of our generations. Our generation. And that's what he means here by the Eshet Yefat Torah, the Yetzirah, which is represented in a woman. This is the Elil, this is the Avodah Zarah, which is associated with our Taibas. To say. And that's the how the Yetzirah is Mefateh us, makes us desire things. So it says. So Torah speaks against the Yetzirah. Ubiru lanu ki inyan parashazu shel Yifat Torah remez al Yetzirah. It's a hint on the Yetzirah. This Yifat Torah. How can a person fix himself from the nezik, the damage this yetzer causes him? So it says, now he's giving us the different levels that's hinted in the Torah here. Shiyasir kocho akashem alav hasar gmod. Remove the koch, the yetzer, these levels. First one is gilcha et rosha. He takes off the hairs of her head. Shesarotav shel adam hem kocho. It's his strength for his desires. Right? Like it says by Shimshon, im gilachti v'sam imeni kochi. If I take off my hairs, will remove from me my strength. V'lechach hiski loshen giluach. Kloma. Therefore it mentions here cutting off her hairs. Kloma. Shelo yimashech acharav klal. You won't go after those, that strength that we have, the physical strength. A siren l'gami ma'alav. Right? So that word means, what does hairs represent? Our head is like the highest level of self. Right? It's where our brain is, where our thinking is. That's the highest level of self. Every part of a person, right, has aspects of self being expressed. Our mind is very, very little expressed. Our machshava, our thought, is very little expressed. It's a higher level of our persona. The hairs, says Chazal, is where that's expressed. But the hairs, in order to express such a high level of self, have to be very, very much din, have to very much magbil, control that which is being expressed in a way that's mitzamtzamit, it's contracted to a very, 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 very small level of expression. So the hairs represent a concept of din. Also, that's why a woman, a married woman, or even a regular woman, they tie their hair, because the hairs represent din. And since a woman is associated with din, these are big dinim. These are places of desire. Right?
No, that's why they cover their hair.
That's why they cover their hair, yeah. Cover or tie their hair. You with me? These hairs represent, like you see, if you ever see, you can tell from people. You know the hippies? So Woodstock, right? All those things. Long hair represents over-connection. Short hair, Buddhists, represent disconnection. They're not connecting to the female. Nowadays, you have people who cut all their hairs, and they do connect. They connect physically. They don't connect properly. Hippies, they connected, you know, love and free love and stuff like that. That's the hippies. That's the long hairs. The Buddhists, they take off theirs, not connection to the woman. But nowadays, you have people who disconnect, cut their hairs off, and they are physically connected, because they're not connecting like man and woman. They're connecting in a disconnected way. So when we're cutting our hairs off, we're saying disconnect from the physical, disconnect from your desires. That means, you understand? Remove yourself from the physical. Second bit is, what will the person do further? He'll think of the maila of Adam Arishon, right? Kodem Achet. Shaya malbushot zipurin. He was covered in nails, right? That was the levush of Adam Arishon. The truth is that before the chet was, before the chet it was a levush of light, and then after the chet it was a levush of tziponayim. But okay, I don't kloma shetiye otza mala gdola beinav, right? Ubezeh yasir simnat shivya shehem begadim na'im. So now he's saying, he'll remove his clothing. It says about the clothing of this woman, she removes her clothing. And it'd be like disgusted with them. The second way of dealing with the Yetzer Hara is when you come to a situation, think who you are. What are you, this behemoth? You're this animal? You came from Adam HaRishon. You're a spiritual human being. You're Tzelem Elokim. When a person realizes who he is, realizes what he really is, it prevents him from just doing the physical things. You should be embarrassed of yourself. You represent Tzelem Elokim. You represent something much, much higher. How can you do such a low thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, these are the ways a person removes himself from the Yetzer Hara. So this parsha is very, very interesting. in that we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to do certain things, and there might be a special reason for it. It's not stam in Matzah Yetzer Hara here. It's because we said there's a special inyan, the special cheshek here, which is a spiritual cheshek, a spiritual desire. And it's only there allowed, right? And we see that. We see if you look in Chazal, there's many, many places that something looks like an Avera, and it actually isn't. And a very, very big thing happened, like with Yehuda and Tamar, the birth of Mashiach, or with Ruth and Boaz. And we got, and David HaMelech came from that. You see, there are things that sometimes there's a big kitrug, and sometimes it looks like an Avera, actually isn't. Well, like I told you, that sometimes happens, you know, people come with, you know, some goyish girlfriend they picked up from university, and then they leave them, and then the girl comes on her own volition to Yiddishkeit. Her father was Jewish, so she felt Jewish, and she came, and she found her way. And that could be a biru of some very, very big soul that we don't actually understand, we don't actually realize. And these things happen today. And through that Avera, through that, you know, came a very, very special connection. A lost soul was brought back to Judaism. This ger became a Jew. I'm not saying that's every single case, right? Because again, you have to bachta yerech yamim, you have to see the time, the period of time that they were separate. And then we see if it was a real, real connection or if it wasn't a real connection. And when we see this real connection, so we see that that Averu, right? That the Kodesh Baruch Hu brought us to do, actually brought us to a high level, to the bringing back of this Jewish soul to the Jewish people. But again, this is not something a person does a priori. It's something that if it happened, and if it occurred, and if it was L'Shem Shemayim, which we'll see later on, if it occurred L'Shem Shemayim, then there was then it was the right thing. But many, many people, unfortunately, they get married to non-Jews, or connect with non-Jews, and they're lost from the Jewish people. They're lost to that Nachash. The Ben Sarah Merit comes from that, something which is removing them from Klal Yisrael. So it's something a person to be very, very careful of. It's not so simple, these things. Okay? Stop here. Shkoyach.